Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I just made my Survivor Island pick. This is how you know football's back, baby. Fantasy football draft on Wednesday evening. Survivor Island pick already saved, though I hate it and I'm not comfortable with it and I don't know that I'll keep it. But I always wait till the last second and I can tell football is encroaching because I'm feeling that sense of urgency. You guys, in exactly 48 hours, when I take the airwaves on Thursday night, we will have game one, opening night in the NFL as the top story, as the number one headline, as the biggest game in town, the only game in town. Well, okay, baseball, fine, still operating. And actually into its stretch run. College football, yes, too. We'll talk a little bit about it. Big game, at least one that I can think of, coming up this weekend. We have so much to catch up on, you and I, all of us. Producer Jay and I still haven't had a chance to catch up, actually. Thank you for your tweets and your Facebook messages. Yes, I did have a great holiday weekend and a very productive trip to Texas. Oh my goodness. One appointment and commitment after another. A lot of planning and even some packing, and it was everything it needed to be, but it was fairly packed. It was fairly jam-packed. And so I think I went 3 whole days without checking social media. It was amazing. I did not watch a lot of sports. I did not pay attention to a lot of what was happening because that's how I get away now. If I take my work with me, if I take sports with me, it very rarely feels like a vacation. And gosh, when I landed in Houston on Thursday afternoon, no issues with the flight. In fact, my flight was 30 minutes early, if you can believe that. Took off on time, but then 30 minutes early arriving in Texas. Neither Bob nor I complained about that. But I was trying to stay awake to spend time with Bob and to spend time with Mom and to eat dinner that she cooked. And goodness, by the time Bob departed Mom's house and I went to bed, it was a little before 9 o'clock Central. I had been up for more than 32 hours in a row. It was rough. So Thursday was kind of a wash, but at least I did make the trip. And then by Friday, the appointment started. I've got some amusing stories. Oh, I think Friday might have been my favorite day of wedding planning so far. And it's because it featured hair and food. Not together, but it featured a hairdo and a food tasting, and it was delish and it was fun. And yeah, really cool to do that with family and with Bob, of course. And then We had some family time with his side and lots of ice cream, some working out. Actually, I had to do a training run in Houston on Saturday morning because I've got a half marathon in 3 weeks and I couldn't afford to take off the weekend. And so I made myself get out of the house early. It was just after 7 o'clock when I started my training run on Saturday morning and I did 90 minutes. By the time we finished, the temps were, Bob was riding his bike around the neighborhood. By the time we finished, the temps were approaching 90. But even despite the heat, it was just the humidity that was so thick. And as I get back to the New York City area on Tuesday, what greets me but 3 days of heat advisories and incredible humidity and temps near triple digits. So I brought it back with me from Houston. So as I say, fun stories to tell you also, you are not going to believe the latest with my dog sitter. I do not know what to do. It, other than find someone new, it took me 3 hours to clean up my house and clean up her messes after I got home. Disgusting. She's really good with the pets, but I do not know what to do about how the house turns into a combat zone when she is there. Jay, you're not going to believe what I walked home. Like, I walked in the door and what I smelled the second I walked in the house. Oh, yeah. It was bad. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, it is the hump show, middle show of the work week, even when I'm not here, which means you get to ask Amy anything except for wedding questions. We've got a special video version of Ask Amy Anything that will drop in the middle of this month, in the middle of September. We'll do that. So we're working on it. Jay is collecting your wedding only questions for a video version of Ask Amy Anything that we'll do in a couple of weeks. So you have to be a little more patient. But I hope that you will believe it's worth the wait. We need to get football season underway first. We need to get settled in as much as possible to the routine. But we do have a video that's ready to drop in honor of opening night. Jay and I just recorded a video not that long ago. It's a new Stairway to Seven, episode 5, and it deals with teams that we believe will make the playoffs this year after missing them last year. It's funny that neither one of us picked the Jets. That's...
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't we pick the Jets?
I think there's a reason.
You think? Well, Jay won't because it's personal with Jay. But yeah. I actually don't know. I think the Jets will make the playoffs, but I'm not sure.
I mean, they're still the Jets until proven otherwise. So.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers is not coming off a great season. So,
wait till I tell you my fantasy quarterback.
You did not pick him. You did not pick him. You know that I won my fantasy football league last season in spite of having Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback, right?
I do know that.
You picked him anyway.
It's not that I per se picked him.
You didn't pick him?
More that he kind
of. Were you auto drafting?
No, I was. I made the selection, but he more kind of fell to me, and I had no other options.
Nobody else wanted him.
He was like the last quarterback there who I felt comfortable starting, and
wow.
So yeah, that's my fantasy quarterback. This
year, I guess that wasn't your cautionary tale. He held me back last year, but I was able to win anyway, in spite of him. I am my fantasy draft on Wednesday evening. So Survivor Island pick is in. Fantasy draft coming up on Wednesday evening. I don't yet know what number I pick. I don't know if it isn't revealed until we get closer to the draft. But as I told you, the commissioner of our league, who is Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network, she waits till the last second. And I think she partly does it because she's so keyed into injuries. So, yeah, if you were thinking about picking Travis Kelce, well, I don't think that he's a bad pick. I'm not sure I would go with him in the opening round, considering what we now know about the Chiefs all-pro superstar tight end. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We need you to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And guess what? It's easy peasy one-stop shopping. While you're there, go to, when you're on our Twitter page, go to the profile and you will find pinned to the top of our Twitter page the link for Survivor Island. I just did it. I inputted my email, my password. I actually got this note from Google suggesting that my password is very common, which I think is impossible. My password is very common that I should change it. I think it was a scam, actually. So I did not input my password or communicate with the pop-up window. I'm pretty sure it was a scam. Anyway, I've already registered my pick. Once you make your pick, you need to save your pick. And there will be a pop-up window that tells you your pick has been saved. If you do not see a window, and it's actually green for go, that shows you your pick has been saved, that means your pick has not been saved. So find the link to Survivor Island pinned to the top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to the top of our Facebook page. And regardless of which social media site you use to engage with us, you can also send your questions for Ask Amy anything. NFL kickoff inside of 48 hours from now. And Travis Kelce has given the Chiefs some good news and some bad news. Here's head coach Andy Reid about his star tight end.
Kelce hyperextended his knee today, so we'll just see how he does going forward.
Oh, that's not what you want to hear 2 days before kickoff. Here's what we know. He hyperextended his knee in the last practice before the season kicks off. There's always a debate about whether or not star players, starters, should participate in preseason games. But this was last practice before the NFL season kicks off. And because the Chiefs play on Thursday night, it puts his status in jeopardy. There will be no Chris Jones either. We know that for sure. He's still holding out from the Chiefs. Why don't we give you the latest from Ian Rappaport on NFL Total Access about Kelce's status for Thursday?
For Thursday night, my understanding is his status is in doubt. In other words, we simply do not know right now. The fact that his injury happened just a couple days before the big-time showdown on Thursday, probably not a good sign for him potentially playing against the Detroit Lions. It is pretty swollen. They're going to see how he is tomorrow, see how quickly they can get the swelling down, and then assess from there. That is the maybe not so great news for Thursday, that there is a possibility that Travis Kelce, because he injured himself so quickly before the game, does not play. However, this is also extremely important. Sources say that it is not believed to be a long-term injury for Travis Kelce. So even if he does not play Thursday night, there is a chance that his absence from the field is a relatively short one.
There's good news, but there's bad news. Yes, Travis Kelce's ACL is intact, according to Ian Rappaport and other sources from the Chiefs. It's not believed to be an injury that will take him out for the season. Relatively short term. Big sigh of relief right there. But his knee is swollen, and he injured it in a non-contact red zone drill on the final practice before the season kicks off. So yes, his Thursday status is in doubt because he was limping off the field. So he did walk off the field under his own power, but he was limping and his knee is now swollen. So then what happens, Coach Reid, if there is no Travis Kelce for Thursday kickoff?
Next guy steps in and we roll. I mean, that's what you do if that's the case.
Wide receiver Sky Moore was actually running a route on the same play when Travis got injured. Non-contact, red zone. And for Moore, for the rest of the Chiefs, yeah, it's tough news. And yet we know this team has a lot of potential on the offensive side of the ball.
I feel like everybody, you know, obviously it'll be a little bit different. First of all, hoping that, you know, it's not that serious, but the offense will definitely look a little bit different, but not too much. You know, like everybody will everybody will be able to fill in the gaps. And, you know, obviously that's a Hall of Fame tight end, but we'll be able to do our job and, you know, pull across the finish line.
And so it begins. Goodness, already the angst over injuries, over guys that can go, can't go. And I do not mean fantasy, although I know it affects fantasy. I mean actual real life football. We haven't even gotten to kickoff yet, and already there are several stars who are dealing with injuries. Travis Kelce being one of them. We know Cooper Kupp is still looking for some type of wisdom, some type of insight about this hamstring injury that he's dealing with. Last year, Kelce hauled in 110 catches. 110 catches. He played all 17 games. 1,338 yards, second highest total of his NFL career. A dozen touchdowns. And once again, retaining his status as Patrick Mahomes' top target and most reliable. I call them one of the dynamic duos in sports because they're super productive. And not unlike an old married couple. Why? Well, because they don't need verbal communication to know what the other is doing. They're able to communicate based on experience, time together, maybe even eye contact, hand signals, though the defense can see hand signals. They just know. They've got code words. They've got secret handshakes. And Travis Kelce recognizes what he sees from his quarterback when his QB is scrambling, extending plays on the move, dinking and dunking. Well, Kelce knows how to get open. And as big as he is, that man can stop on a dime and pivot the other direction and leave his defense in the dust. Plus, he's so difficult to bring down. He's constantly getting held. He's a load. And he's a Super Bowl champion twice over, and he's got one of the hottest podcasts in the NFL. Speaking of podcasts, you know who's back? He's back. Not that way, though. He's not back to football. Tom Brady is back to his Let's Go podcast. And so we'll hear from him a little bit later on. I'm actually looking forward to hearing Brady post-retirement because he's freer to say what he feels and what he thinks. And we know he kept it relatively vanilla for years in New England. And even when he was in Tampa, he still kept a lot of his emotions and his opinions under wraps, or at least in check.
I plead the fifth.
Because he was trying to be a team player and a captain and recognized his responsibility was to his team, his teammates, his coaches, and the league. Although I wouldn't say he has a ton of loyalty to Commissioner Roger Goodell. But now he's free. Free to fly. Free to be. Fry. Not fry, Tom Brady. Of course. It was going to happen. As I flipped my schedule back to overnights, it was going to happen. Fry, Tom Brady. Fry. I hope that's not a headline somewhere. Football is on the horizon, peeps. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We've got a trio of homers for one of the hottest home run hitters in the game right now. That's weird. Well, it's not who you'd expect. We've got a battle of sorts between the Astros and the Rangers, and guess who will be facing each other in the Wednesday iteration of this series and at the U.S. Open. It's not quite all American, but there is an American flair at our Grand Slam. Into week number two, getting down to the semifinals. Lots of fun surprises. A youth movement among the red, white, and blue competitors, if you will. So a lot to get to. Again, thank you for your notes. Always nice to be missed. no more days off, as in no more days off between now and Thanksgiving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening. This is Upper Hand Fantasy.
What about J.K. Dobbins? I think he's going to be the breakout running back of 2023. I love the fact that he's a year removed from a bad injury. I love his price at the 4-5 turn. I'm happy with him as my RB2, but I do think he has RB1 upside, man. I think he is a dark horse candidate to lead the league in rushing. I think he has a talent. He has a great offensive line. He's averaging 5.9 yards per carry so far over his career.
Upper Hand Fantasy, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Into the After Hours Podcast.
Working from the first base side of the rubber, delivers, and Altuve rockets one deep to left field and sends back Grossman at the wall, looking up, see you later! Leadoff home run for Jose Altuve, the 35th of his career, and the Astros are up 1-0, 3-1. And Altuve drives this one out to left center field, hit pretty well, going back on it is Tavares at the wall, see you later! A home run in the first, and now a home run in the second for Jose Altuve. His second straight multi-homer game. And the Astros lead is 4-0.
This one's wall up to center field. Back on it, Tavares. And she's gone! Third home run for Altuve. A blast to straightaway center field. It's 9-0 Astros, as Altuve goes deep for the third time in the ballgame.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Jose Altuve is on a tear with Robert Ford and Steve Sparks. He homers against the Rangers in the first inning, the second inning, the third inning. He had also homered to wrap up the game the previous night, and so he homered in four straight innings over the span of a couple of days. Five home runs in six plate appearances. Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. First time for Jose Altuve with three dingers in a game in the regular season, and he's a big reason for the power surge with Houston. 20 hits. 20 hits and 14 runs against the Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi returning to the mound, first plate appearance since mid-July. Did I say plate appearance? Sorry. Returning to the mound, first pitching appearance since mid-July. And two of the Altuve home runs were off him before he was gone. He'd been nursing a forearm issue. So yeah, for the Astros, it was a long time coming. It was a long, slow climb up the mountain. But they are now one game up on the Mariners and two on the Rangers in the AL West standings. Yeah, this is all too familiar for the Houston Astros as defending World Series champions.
We got some momentum going. Yesterday, Mauricio hitting two homer. Today, Maldi and Jordan hitting homers. It's always good, you know, to score a lot of runs. And like I said, just to create some momentum and keep winning.
So Jose Altuve there on AT&T Sportsnet. They're surging, but it's the opposite for the Rangers. Man, the Rangers had staying power for months. They led the AL West for the majority of this regular season, and they could still win it. But right now, scuffling again. Bruce Bochy knows it. They've lost 5 of 6.
Stay behind them. Just, hey, worm's going to turn here. It is. It's always a tough stretch what we're going through, but I think you have to remind yourself a couple things here. One, who we are, what we were, for the most part this season, and we're right there. As bad as things have looked, and trust me, these guys didn't want to play like this tonight in front of our fans. You hate to see a game like this, but it's going to turn with these guys, and that's part of my job is also believe too. and I want those guys too, and that's the message. But you know what? It's been a tough go. But with that said, I just think it's going to happen.
I like the confidence of Bruce Bochy. It's one of the reasons why the Rangers have had so much success this season, because he's in charge. Not that dissimilar from the effect of Buck Showalter on the Mets last year, when they won 101 games and did make the playoffs. So here are the Rangers sitting two back of the Astros in the AL West, but they're actually outside the wild card picture. And that's because of the AL East and how good the East is. And also the Mariners right now are sitting in a wild card spot that could be inhabited by the Rangers if they could turn the ship around. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the Mariners, they were on the road in Cincinnati on Tuesday.
Swinging a bouncing ball through the right side, base hit. Here comes De La Cruz, the plate. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Reds win it 7-6. Christian Encarnacion Strand singles home Ellie De La Cruz, and the Reds walk off over the Mariners.
That's the call on the Reds radio network. Yeah, three runs in the eighth inning for Cincinnati, the walk-off in the bottom of the ninth. And, you know, the Reds are one of the youngest teams in Major League Baseball, trying to do something along the lines of what the Guardians did last season. And while they're at this point fighting, scratching, clawing, this is good for them, good experience for them as a young team, because this is what they would need to do night in and night out in the playoffs.
We're young, got a lot of energy. We have some veteran guys too as well that teach us as we're going along the way. It's an incredible atmosphere to be in.
That's Encarnacion Strand on Bally Sports Cincinnati. So yeah, kind of fun for the fans too. But this is what I had talked about, well, really the opposite effect of what I had brought up with both the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. Because they've got enormous leads in their divisions. Dodgers lead the Diamondbacks by 14 games. That's the next closest team in the NL West, while the Braves are up 14.5 over the Phillies. Braves are already sitting on 90 wins with still just under a month to go, even though they've lost two in a row. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. You lose two in a row, you can lose three in a row. Clayton Kershaw doesn't have a great performance, but the Dodgers are still 31 games above 500. It doesn't matter. There's no penalty for it. And because of that, there is no edge. They don't have to play with an edge or a sense of urgency from now until the end of the regular season. However, teams like the Reds, the Cubs. We talked about the wild cards in the American League, the Mariners, the Rangers, the Astros. All these teams will be fighting, scratching, clawing the rest of the way. They aren't likely to create such separation that they can drop their guard or that they can not play with that sense of urgency, almost a playoff perspective. And that helps teams, I think. It helps teams, methinks, once they get to October. Ooh, and October is coming, but not yet, okay? Let's enjoy September while we have it. Coming up, September always features a brand new Grand Slam in New York, right? And so to have the U.S. Open as the final Grand Slam on the tennis calendar is awesome. To know that Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz are both dominating on the hard courts in Queens, that's pretty sweet. They could be on a crash course, a collision course, if you will, or maybe not. Maybe there will be an upstart on the men's side. Americans still proudly represented at the U.S. Open, including two who are into their first semifinals under the age of 21. Awesome stuff. So we'll get to a little tennis on the hard court. And I do love the fact that September starts out with the U.S. Open around Labor Day, that it's the last major on the tennis calendar. Usually history on the line, always incredible performances. And yeah, it's cool that you've got fans who are pulling for Americans. It's been a long time since an American man has won the U.S. Open. Could we see some major upsets? Maybe. But on the women's side, looking for a new queen to replace Serena Williams. So we've got more baseball still to get to. Like the Marlins playing hardball against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. The Cubs and the Giants, two teams that are battling for wild card spot, if not division title. Well, not the Giants, but the Cubs, still within reach. A milestone moment for Giancarlo Stanton, but more than that, a what if. And the latest on Shohei Ohtani. And so we'll get to more baseball. We've got football out the wazoo. I don't know what that is, but I used to hear my mom say it when I was a kid. We are inviting you to join us on Survivor Island. Producer Jay says he'll come up with some kind of account. I know that there are two islands operating because my mom's husband said he had to join the second island. I've already made my pick. My fantasy draft is on Wednesday evening. Oh, it's all happening in football too. But tennis is next. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here we go. Toss, serve. Wide, good. Returns through the middle. Shelton with the backhand now has a forehand cross into an open court. And the box office remains open. Ben Shelton breaks new ground into his first U.S. Open semifinal. 6-2, 3-6, 7-6, 6-2. He hangs up the phone and a hug with Francis Tiafoe as Shelton's parents hug as well. It's Ben Shelton and Novak Djokovic in the U.S. Open semifinals.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ben Shelton is just shy of his 21st birthday, and he is into his first Grand Slam semifinal. The American taking out fellow American Francis Tiafoe. And that's kind of a bummer to have Americans facing each other, but it's a good problem to have, right? Because that means there are more Americans in the quarterfinals, and they just happen to be in the same brackets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ben Shelton will have to face Novak Djokovic next. And of course, Novak is attempting to win his 24th Grand Slam singles title, which would tie him for most all time with Margaret Court, but of course extend his record among the men. Well, he's busy setting records even as he advances toward the final. We'll get to that coming up here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. So for Ben, this is something new and something different, and the crowd was raucous. But what you're going to hear from Ben Shelton, Novak Djokovic, Coco Gauff is that it was hot, of course, humid. Even when the temperatures begin to drop, the humidity is extremely thick. And down on the court at Arthur Ashe, it's closed in, right? Even if the roof is open, when you're down on the court, there's not as much wind. You've got the body heat and just the bodies and the stadium in general that kind of blocks in the heat. And it's the thickness, the heaviness of the air. And you can take my word for it because we live in the area, in the New York City area, and Jay was out kayaking on Tuesday afternoon. I was out with Penny and, of course, traveling too. Yeah, it almost makes it harder to breathe when the air is that thick and it's that humid. And all of these athletes are talking about it post-match, whether they win or lose. It's a common theme.
It was a hot one in here tonight, wasn't it, guys? Yeah, feeling like I left it all out here tonight. emotional battle, and thanks all you guys for staying so late. Hell of an atmosphere. And thanks for pushing me over the line.
Ben Shelton had a lot of support from the crowd, which is awesome. Not that Francis didn't, but it's always fun when you have an underdog to cheer for. And Ben is young. He's an up-and-comer, kind of like TFO last year, right? So what happened with Francis? How did he end up falling to a lower-seeded Ben Shelton?
I thought it was super heavy tonight, really muggy, super humid. Those guys sweating a lot, and balls were really heavy, and he was able to hit throughout the ball a bit more than I was. He just played better than me. I gave him a lot of chances to stay in the match, and he took advantage of it. So,
is this significant for the Americans to have a semifinalist wearing the red, white, and blue? Because the U.S. has not claimed a Grand Slam championship in men's singles since Andy Roddick in 2003. It's been 20 years since an American man has won a Grand Slam singles trophy. And that's not just at the U.S. Open. That's Wimbledon, the French Open, the Australian Open. 20-year drought for American men at Grand Slam events in singles. So it's time. And this was the first U.S. Open quarterfinal that had two guys from the host country. So two guys facing each other in the quarters. And Ben Shelton advances. And as you can imagine, this is certainly the height to this point in his career.
Walking to get my towel in the fourth set, and it's like, this is the greatest moment on the tennis court of my life. Oh. And I'm in a lot of pain, you know, physically. But I'm loving it, and I think that was just kind of the story of today.
Yeah, it takes everything you've got in this kind of heat and humidity. Oh, but you think you had to dig down deep for a victory over Francis Tiafoe. How about when you face Novak Djokovic, world number one, Grand Slam machine, coming up in your next match, the semifinals?
It doesn't get much better than that, you know. It's been tough the last two matches I've been playing Americans, but hopefully you guys bring it for me two nights from now.
Excited for him and for the fan support. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Some of that Ben Shelton from On the Court, courtesy of ESPN, and then U.S. Open Radio with the final call of what he says is the highlight, the high point of his tennis career to date, but maybe he adds on to that. Yeah, so Novak Djokovic played in the day session, so not just the humidity, but the heat and the glaring sunshine. And at 36 years old, conditioning has also been a major factor for him along this road. It's one of the reasons why he continues to be so good, so effective, and of course, so dominant in stretches, even at his age, despite the conditions, especially like these that you'll get in New York, but also the Australian Open. Think about how hot it can be in January down under.
Very humid conditions, just sweating a lot and you know, reaching the towel basically after every point. So, yeah, the first set was 6-1, but I think in terms of the time played, it was almost an hour. Then, you know, in the second set, I felt like he started playing better, missing less, hitting his serves, hitting the spots better. But in the crucial moments, I guess I managed to just stay tough and find the right shots, make him play always an extra shot, make him run. You know, I know that he, on the move, he's not really the most comfortable. So I think I've done well, you know, except, you know, a few games here and there where I struggled, but, you know, a very solid performance, and I'm really pleased with the way I played.
They're all mentioning the heat. They're all mentioning the humidity. And interesting that Novak did not play in the night session under the lights at Arthur Ashe, nor did Coco Gauff. So I'm not sure if you've noticed this trend, but in five different matches for them now, they've played back-to-back. So they happen to be paired together in each of their last five sessions. And so it's Coco Gauff first in her matches, and then she gives way to Novak Djokovic on Arthur Ashe. They've been night sessions a couple of times, but this was in the heat again and the humidity of the New York sun on Tuesday. We'll hear more from Novak a little bit later on. But yeah, Coco Gauff at 19 years old. She's into her first U.S. Open semifinal. And at this point, regardless of how close she is to a possible final, or even a title, she cannot look ahead.
There's still a lot of tennis left to play, and it's a long match and a long tournament. And, you know, even though the semifinals by theory, if you want to win, there's two matches left, but it's, you can't think like that. I'm still in the mindset that I'm in the beginning of the tournament. I think that's what I've learned, you know, in the past of being in quarterfinals before. I would think, you know, close to the end, but right now I have the mentality that I told myself I still have another 2 weeks to play. So that's where my mind is at. And then obviously when it's over, it's over. But right now I'm just saying another 2 weeks. And also I think it's what's helping is playing from DC to Montreal to Cincinnati. That was a long type of swing. So I think doing well in those tournaments built my mental endurance. I always had the physical endurance, but it built my mental endurance. So right now I feel emotionally fresh, which I think was the problem in the past in Grand Slams. I would emotionally be drained, but obviously I'm physically fresh and emotionally fresh.
Awesome to hear from a 19-year-old, right? Coco Gauff, who has never won a major title, has been to a Grand Slam final, though not at the U.S. Open, where she's got all the fan support. Her first trip to the semis at the U.S. Open, and as a teenager, she continues to break ground. Next up for her, number 10, Karolina Muchova of the Czech Republic on Thursday. I love it. I love the flair of the red, white, and blue. But of course, the history of Novak Djokovic and what he's attempting to do. Now 20-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, like a heat-seeking missile at the beginning of his tennis career. A lot of fun storylines. I've heard from my 88-year-old friend, Margaret, how much she's enjoying the U.S. Open, and my auntie, who lives in Arizona and right now is recovering from wrist surgery. She's been staying inside and watching a lot of tennis, and she even wrote to me in a text on Tuesday to say how much fun she is having watching it. So it's good. And I think it's better for American TV if we've got more Americans competing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.